Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up on May 16th, Chicago's going to open a brand new museum. We've been talking about it all night. It's very exciting. The American Writers Museum will put centuries of American literature on display. Their 180 North Michigan Avenue space. The museum is something that's been in the works for years. It's the brainchild of an Irish businessman, Malcolm O'Hagan, who raised over $10 million to bring the museum to this country, to this city. It's the first of its kind. Joining me tonight, book list editor and author Donna Seaman. Donna's been involved with the museum from the beginning. She's on the National Advisory Council and the content leadership team for the museum, and she's got the preview. Donna, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. I mean, it's something, like I said, it's been in the works for years. Where does this come from? I mean, talk about the early days of getting involved with this.
Well, the early days were Malcolm O'Hagan, as you mentioned, an immigrant to this country, by the way, who had spent time in the Dublin Irish Writers Museum in Dublin. Found that very inspiring, loves literature. Malcolm can quote Yeats at the drop of a hat. And he, as a new American, felt that this country was not recognizing the importance of writers in the very creation of our nation, which is based on words, you know,
right.
The Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Declaration, Bill of Rights. So he started thinking about a writer's museum, and he started talking to people and more people and people at the National Endowment of the Arts, the Library of Congress. One of the many beautiful things about the American Writers Museum is how very many voices it includes, both past voices and present voices. And Malcolm really went for a group effort on this.
Well, that's the amazing part of it. And we'll talk about the building and we'll talk about what's in it. But the sort of collaboration or bringing together the past voices that you're going to honor, whether it be famous American writers, with the current and contemporary writers of today. It's not a museum in the sense that you walk in and it's going to be a bust of an American writer, you know, and everyone's going, oh, that's what that writer looked like. I mean, it's not that kind of museum. It's much more contemporary. It's much more interactive.
It is. It's a 21st century museum from start to finish, full of tradition. But the way the story is told is super active. It's not a library, for instance. You're not going to be surrounded by books. We have libraries. It's not a museum full of artifacts. It's a museum full of words and stories and images of authors and how they all connect. Like, it starts out with a giant map of the United States. You know, it's all this video, electronic stuff. The programming is so sophisticated. It's just phenomenal. And so, you know, you can look at Mississippi and think William Faulkner, and you'll see where he actually lived and the imaginary places he created on this map. And the whole museum is like that. You can just look at things in passing, or you can get really immersed. And it's just beautifully designed and very welcoming.
As an editor and an author yourself, were you surprised that there wasn't an institution like this already in the United States?
Yes. And, you know, you feel sort of foolish almost. I mean, I've been devoted to books forever and ever. And speaking to Malcolm, I went to some of the very early meetings. And I think we all were sitting there going, right, why has this not happened before? And yet it's a very complicated concept. What would be in a museum about
right.
American writers? So that was the big challenge of it and very exciting. And I think in part this was the right time for this idea because we can do so much electronically.
Well, before we get to what's in the museum, let's talk about why the museum is here in Chicago. I mean, because it could be any city. I would think New York City would be a prime contender, anywhere in the Eastern Seaboard, Boston, any more traditional sort of American colonial type towns.
Exactly.
Why does it end up here in Chicago?
Well, because Malcolm O'Hagan and Werner Hein, who became his partner in this, an attorney at Meyer Brown, talked to a lot of people about literature, thought a lot about where people go, an accessible place, a place that has a rich literary tradition that perhaps isn't as recognized nationally as it should be. I think they just fell in love with Chicago. And it's a great visitor place. It's also a place full of literary history, full of neighborhoods, beautiful architecture. You know, I love that it's in an old building, a vintage,
right.
beautiful building on Michigan Avenue. And I think they found here people that were super enthusiastic and open to it. There's so many museums crammed into Boston and New York and Washington, D.C., Chicago has great museums too, but we can still grow. There's still a lot of potential here.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, there's the why it's in Chicago, but when we talk about it being at 180 North Michigan, you know, there's been a lot of sort of, I guess, consternation around where you put museums these days.
Yes.
We've seen that in Chicago in the last year or so.
Yes, exactly.
But talk about why 180 North Michigan. What was it about putting this American Writers Museum on Michigan Avenue?
Well, unlike certain museums who are not going to be in the city, the American Writers Museum realized that it really could use existing space because we didn't need huge space and we didn't need to erect something. We could use an existing building that is in a historic part of the city. You know, Michigan Avenue, everyone knows how to get to Michigan Avenue. It's just a little north of Millennium Park and the Great Art Institute of Chicago and the Cultural Center as well, which will be
right.
kind
it plays
of
a big
partner
part of, it.
Of
yeah,
the museum.
Right.
So there's a good connection between those two, readily accessible, and yet, you know, sort of a surprise place. It's on the second floor, and you go up there and you feel very sequestered and immersed in this other world, and it's intimate. It feels large. People that have been to it have said to me they immediately realized they would have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a real coziness to it because it's in a building that's already there. And it's, you know, just like a lot of the great old towers downtown Chicago, they're just full of surprises.
Well, Blair Kamen in the Chicago Tribune gave it a stellar review just in terms of architecture. We'll talk about what's in the museum. Let's take a quick break. Donna Seaman is my guest tonight, book list editor and author herself on the National Advisory Council and the Content Leadership Team for the American Writers Museum, which is at 180 North Michigan. It's going to open next week, a brand new museum here in Chicago. I love it. Donna Seaman, my guest, we'll take a quick break. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Brand new museum we're talking about at the American Writers Museum. It's going to be at 180 North Michigan starting on May 16th. We had just sort of a press preview this week. Some people got in. Joining me tonight, booklist editor and author Donna Seaman. She's been involved since the beginning. She's on the National Advisory Council, the Content Leadership Team for the museum. And we're talking about let's talk about what's in it.
What's in it?
I guess the first question I have is just this. There's a lot of literature to choose from. You know, this is really shaping up when you think about it to be almost like a Hall of Fame in the way that you're celebrating American writers. How do you make that choice? What's the criteria?
Oh, it was so tough, Justin. There are so many American writers. And we were defining writing very broadly, speeches, plays, poetry, novels, history. There's even some advertising in there, screenplays. So it was an enormous task to try and be selective and find representative authors. I mean, obviously, some writers absolutely have to be there. You would never not have Herman Melville in there, or Emily Dickinson, or Ernest Hemingway, or Nelson Algren, because we're in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many writers. So we really looked at writers that were significant, both artistically, but also their influence, their voices. You know, American literature is a real story of being heard, of different people insisting on being brought into the conversation.
Right.
Because at the beginning, it was restricted. It was all men, for instance. It was all white people. So the evolution of American society was propelled in many ways by American literature, by writing, by writers who sat down and wrote and said, you will listen to me. I have things to say.
And I mean, we talked about this. It's not necessarily all traditional. And you just mentioned all the different disciplines that will be on display. But when I talk about traditional, it's not just anyone who, you know, was a classic piece of literature you read in high school. I mean, you're talking about contemporary works, people who are writing right now.
Well, in the museum, we have a wall of 100 writers, and they are all deceased.
Okay.
So today's writers will be in the museum.
When they die.
No, well, yes, but also as writers present. There's tons of programming. You know, we have a space for readings and workshops, and so.
Well, that too is. I mean, it's such a fluent thing when you think about it. There's so much programs. There's exhibits that'll come up. I'm assuming that you'll have other opportunities to showcase writers who may not have made the cut or did, and you just want to make more out of their work, right?
Exactly. There'll be many programs. There's two small galleries that will be temporary exhibits. Right now, we have Jack Kerouac's scroll for On the Road in there, which is an amazing artifact, an amazing bit of American history. And another exhibit called Palm, which is an art installation, a tribute to the poet W.S. Merwin, who lives in Hawaii and raises palm trees and is a master gardener and very concerned with the environment, and a nature poet, too. So there'll be different exhibits in those two galleries throughout. And that will introduce people to writers and new ways of perceiving them and thinking about them.
I think about, you know, and having the conversation about not how this country's not had a museum. And I think about the role of the library. And I think in Chicago of the Harold Washington Library, instance, a huge building that has not only a place for reference, but a community center and also a place that can really reflect and showcase the community, that in this case it's Chicago. Where does the museum pick up where a library like that, which really does serve almost like a museum, leave off?
Well, it's very interesting juxtaposition, because in the Harold Washington Library, which is a magnificent institution, there's all kinds of books and literature and other materials. So it's very broad and international, global. So the American Writers Museum focuses not on the books so much, but on the writers' lives. It's focused on American writers, going back to the earliest possible days that we could think of for storytelling in America. And it's sort of creates sort of a constellation of writers. So it's a very distilled and very specific way of looking at American literature, whereas in a great grand library like Charles Washington Library, you have everything.
Yeah, everything, right. It's reference points and things. Yeah. So I take it how to build paper airplanes won't make it into the American Writers Museum.
Probably not.
You know, when we think about the museum and here being in Chicago, as you guys talked about why it was located here, Chicago does have a very rich literary history, and it is one that it's a little bit more subdued than sort of the New York cities of the world, but Chicago has a huge connection to American literature.
Oh, profoundly so. In fact, this year in June, we will be celebrating the centennial of Gwendolyn Brooks, the great poet based in Chicago her entire life, tremendously influential the world over. Of course, we have Studs Terkel here. We had Nelson Algren, as we mentioned. Ernest Hemingway, we claim, is a Chicago writer. I mean, and there is a Chicago exhibit in the museum that's really wonderfully done. And it pays tribute to Richard Wright, and, you know, the list goes on and on.
It really does. A lot of men there.
Yes.
But I mean, when you think about
Edna Ferber, I can think of some women, Jane Addams.
Right. Yeah, I mean, well, when you think about the significant contributions this city has had to the overall landscape that is American literature, it is pretty striking. All those names that you mentioned, even though we're in Chicago, we may be biased because we know them, but they are national names that people who are fans of the history of American literature celebrate.
Absolutely. And tremendously influential. I mean, Chicago, it was such a hub. I mean, so many people came here in the Great Migration. It's such an industrial center, a railroad center, and all that you find in Chicago literature and American literature as a whole.
Donna, how's it feel? Here we are. May 16th is when this thing opens. That's next week, and you've been working on this for almost a decade. How does it feel to have the American Writers Museum open its doors?
It was really overwhelming. I went to a preview for, you know, donors and other people that were involved Friday night, and I was kind of speechless and these were long, long conversations and tons of writing and research and, you know, all very abstract, really. And to walk into an actual place and see actual exhibits and writers, I was so moved. I really was. I still feel I tear up when I think about it.
The American Writers Museum, putting centuries of American literature on display at 180 North Michigan. It's going to open next week, May 16th, to the public. In studio tonight, booklist editor and author Donna Seaman. She is on the National Advisory Council for the museum, the content leadership team. She's been with the project since the beginning. Donna, congratulations, and we look forward to checking out what this new museum has to offer.
Thank you so much, Justin. What a pleasure.